let's begin. This week is Parshas Yisro. Parsha V'Aseres HaDibros. Shabbos Matan Torah. Okay, let's first begin with the first pasuk. The pasuk Vayishma Yisro Koyimigin Chosim Moshe Eis Kol Asher Osvash Elokim LeMoshe LiShol Amo Ki Yitzia Hashem Eshol MiMitzrayim. Start with a thought. Mashmu of the first Rashi in the pasuk in this week's parasha, Mashmu Shama Uba. What did Yisro hear that he came? So Rashi only quotes two of the three reasons given in the Gemara. So Gemara Masechta Zvachim, they ask on Rashi why he only quoted two of the three. But for a moment, let's focus on the Gemara. The Gemara says he heard one of three things. Either he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf or Milchemes Amalek, and the third opinion in the Gemara is he heard about Matan Torah. So similarly, the Mepharshim tells us the reason why Rashi did not quote Matan Torah was because Rashi is learning Pshutim Kipshutai. And since Parshas, that's assuming came after Matan Torah, right? So the similar reason why Rashi omitted the reason of Matan Torah was because Rashi is learning the Pshutim Ein Leibosi Elu Lefarish, and on a very simple level, we're going to follow the order, and they came before Matan Torah. Therefore, it can't be that he came after Matan Torah, but the Gemara says there is an opinion that Ein Muktam Mucha BaTorah, and he came later on, and therefore there are really totally grand total of three reasons why Yisro came to Klal Yisro. Now, I wanted to suggest that is why Yisro here is described with three names. It's very bizarre. We give him three titles. He's called Yisro, Vayishma Yisro. He's also the Choyhein Midyan, the priest of Midian, the chief, the CEO of Midian, the president of Midian, whatever that means. And he's also the Chosein Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe. Why are we giving Yisro three names? So perhaps we can suggest is every person, something else appeals to. When people want to go to a shir, they pursue a career in a certain field, every person is different. Every person, there is something which touches the neshama of every person differently. There were three different things about Yisro. Yisro had three different roles in life, and each one of these roles in life was touched by what happened to Klal Yisro. Yisro, Chazal tells us, one of the reasons why he's called Yisro was because of him, in honor of him, a parasha was added to the Torah. A whole parsha was in all of his contributions. Obviously, Yisro had a tremendous chavivus to the Torah. And in fact, Chazal tell us that Kani tell us that from his children, his descendants, they were the Talmidim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yisro's descendants, I don't have to remember the exact Chazal, but Chazal said it very clearly that Yisro had an unusual love for the words of Torah. He had chavivus ahavas Torah that was unparalleled, and therefore, in honor, because of the chavivus of Torah, he actually merited that a parasha was added to the Torah in his honor. The whole parasha is called Yisro. He made the suggestion, the proposal that they should add more dayanim to assist Moshe Rabbeinu. He has a chelek in Torah. What more can you want? We say in davening every single day, v'sein chelkenu b'sarasecha. We should have a portion in your Torah. That's Matan Torah. By Yishma Yisro, Yisro had a love. He heard about Torah. He heard what Torah was all about. He had a love for Torah. That appealed to him. That itself was enough of a reason for him to come forward to join Klal Yisrael. Why else did he join Klal Yisrael? He was the Chohen Midian. He was the priest of Midian. And Chazal tell us that Midian were partners with Amalek. We had this in the Medrash. It's actually a pasuk. I don't remember what the pasuk is. In Yecheskel, maybe, I forgot what it is. That Yisro was a partner. They had a pact with Amalek. And when Yisro saw, when the Leitz, well, like we learned today in Mishlei, when the Leitz was beaten up, the Pesi was Nishakim. He became wise. So the Koyim, Yisro got smart, the Pesi Yisro. So Midian had an alliance with Amalek. The Mela, so he came. What else? He was the Chosein Moshe. Moshe, he took Moshe Rabbeinu as a refugee. Moshe ran away from Paro, and then because they wanted to kill him. Because they wanted to kill him. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu, he told him, I want to go back to my people. So when we talk about being the father-in-law of Moshe, he was the one that sheltered Moshe Rabbeinu. He took care of Moshe Rabbeinu while Moshe was fleeing from Mitzrayim, only temporarily to eventually go back and to save his people. So you have to work on that idea, but the Chosin Moshe has a connotation of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Moshe was an escape from Egypt. He went back to Egypt, and that he felt an achrayis. I'm also a shutif with you, Moshe Rabbeinu, in Yitzias Mitzrayim, asher hitzilo miyad Mitzrayim. So we can suggest over here the reason why the pasuk here is giving us three different names for one person, which is very unusual. Yisrael, Kohen Midian, Chosin Moshe, is alluding to the Gemara Masechet Zvachim that there were three. Yisrael came for three reasons, or maybe you can say he came three times. How many times did Yisrael actually come? Maybe he came three different moments of time, but he came to Klal Yisrael for three reasons, because there were three things that appealed to him. Mitzad echad, my chavivus for Torah, Yisrael, yeser parsha in the Torah. The word Yisrael means it was added a parsha in the Torah. The chavivus of Torah was a reason to come. He came to Klal Yisrael because of being that he was the Kohen Midian, and I saw what happened to my partner Amalek. That's the reason why I came. I'm also come because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and me in my role of being the Chosin Moshe, I also am a partner in this event, and I also therefore feel that I belong. My place is with Klal Yisrael. So we have here a remes of the Gemara by seeing the three different titles of Yisrael's name. And we go even a step further. It's Moshe Medu because it says, "What? Why am I coming? Why Yishma Yisrael? Kohen Midyan, Chosin Moshe. Why? Eis Kol Asher Asa Elokim LeMoshe. Number one, Uli Yisrael Amo." And then it says, Ki hoitzi Hashem es Yisrael mimitzrayim. Three different things. So what's Moshe? Moshe is Toras Moshe. When you say what Hashem did to Moshe, what did Hashem do to Moshe more than anyone else? Moshe went to Shemayim 40 days, 40 nights. Moshe 120 days. Moshe, Toras Moshe. Moshe, you have a shaykhist to Torah. I also want Torah. Yisrael Amo. What does it mean, Yisrael Amo? Amalek. Amalek challenged the fact that Klal Yisrael is the nation of Klal Yisrael. Reishis goyim Amalek. Amalek felt they are the nation. And Mimel Amalek challenged the fact that Klal Yisrael is Yisrael Amo. And then the third part is Ki Hoitziyah Shem Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Kriyas Mitzrayim. Yitziyas Mitzrayim. So it's Mamash Meduyik. You have here in this one pasuk, you have three names of Yisrael. We have three reasons why he came. Moshe, Yisrael Amo. The Gemara takes these two things together and tells us there are Taka three reasons. There is Har Sinai Kabbalah Satorah, there is Mechias Amalek, and there is Yitzias Mitzrayim. All that Chut Hamashulish goes through the entire Pasuk from beginning to end.
And you see Achanachan
goes in order. Goes in order also. Everything is Meduik in order. What?
Mitzrayim was first.
Well, okay, that part. But at least the names. The names. Yisrael is Torah, Kari Midyan is Amalek, Chosin Moshe is Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then when the pasuk includes, it says also in that order, Moshe is Torah's Moshe, Yisrael Amo is clearly Amalek, Amo is Klal Yisrael and Rishkli Amalek, and Kiyotziah Hashem Yisrael Mitzrayim. And Mash Moshe Maba, either it's Matan Torah, or it's going to be Amalek. Rashi will be Amalek. Rashi says the other way around. Alright, but this is a Jewish.
First you approach Hashem because he took you out of Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
And then you get challenged, you see the Nissen.
Right? Yeah.
Then finally, Torah.
Okay, but there are three things. But we have all three are definitely. I feel there's some connection in these three things. Okay, let's go to a further thing. But Yisrael goes for a new idea. But Yitzay, he comes forward. He brings his children, Moshe's children. Vayavo Yisrael Chosin Moshe. One of the Shul Moshe. Al Midrash Shehuchan Shem Alokim. Vayomer Al Moshe Ani Chosencha Yisrael Boylecha VeIshtecha Ushnei Vonecha Ima. Rashi Pasuk Vav. In the beginning of the parasha, he says, "What are these three things? Why do we mention over here his wife and his children?" Yisrael says, "Ani chaysencha Yisrael im ein ato yotzei begini. If you don't want to come forward in my merit, in my honor, say begin ishtecha. If you don't want to come out to greet me, okay, you don't like your father-in-law. You don't like the shver. Okay, but come for your wife. Ishtoki gufai. Do it for yourself. Go for your wife. Say begin ishtecha. V'imena atayotze begin ishtecha. And if you don't want to come for your wife, you don't like your wife either, so at least say begin shnei vanecha. So come out to be mekabel your children. People do for their children what they wouldn't do for their wife, what they wouldn't do for themselves, what they certainly wouldn't do for their shver. Okay? People do for this. So therefore, Yisro is a very clever person. Moshe, don't embarrass me. I've come to greet you. Everyone is watching. You're inside the tent. Be mechamed me. Kadeini no. If you don't want to be mechamed me, at least.
But the way he got the message to Moshe was he shot an arrow into the.
Somehow, don't be mevazen me.
Hey, listen.
Be mevazen me.
Come out for me.
Gave him three reasons to come out. Okay, so now, if this was you, put yourself in Moshe Rabbeinu's position. You get a message. Moshe, come to greet me, if not for me, my wife, come for your children, what would you do? I think the average person would say, I'll come for everyone. Gevaldik. My children are here, my wife is here, my father-in-law. Oh, the father-in-law. He's not really the one I'm interested in. My wife, listen, all right, the children. So once everyone is here, you'll come out. A greeting to greet everyone will come out together. But it's shocking what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, even though in the previous Pasuk it says that, and if not me, the Ishtach, and if not the Shnevonecha, Pasuk Zayin, next Pasuk, Moshe comes out in honor of who? Only Yisrael. Forget about the wife, forget about the children. No mention of the wife and the children. Against to go to war. He bows down, he kisses him. Nothing to forget about the wife, they don't even exist. What's going on here? So this is a ha'ara. You hear this about great people, and it's definitely very true in social scenes. I don't know if you ever had the experience, go to a social scene, and they say this, and you ever read the articles about singles events. Okay, people looking for shidduchim, you go to a singles event, and there are 30 girls, or there are 30 boys, and you go, and you're looking at one girl, or looking at one boy, and while you're looking at him, you're looking over their shoulder, you're looking who else there is. Because this one I don't want. So you're looking over your shoulder. And it's very obvious, and it's very, very, very impolite to do such a thing. And it's done, and forget about social. Go to a kiddush and shul. You're talking to someone, and while you're talking to someone, you're looking over their shoulder, looking who else is here in the room. Who do I know here in this room? Who else can I go and talk to? And you're not giving the person that you're talking to their full attention. You hear very often about great people. They say about them that when they spoke to someone, the person they were speaking to felt that they had their full attention. You hear this about certain great rabbeim, and after they die, the talmidim come forward, and the talmidim say, "I thought my whole life that I was his best talmid. I was his prized talmid. He always made me feel that way. Like I'm the number one talmid." And then after he was nifted, we all came together. I realized everyone felt the same way. All of my friends, they all really believed, they believed that they were the prized Talmud. That's the koich of a great person, to make every single person, to give them the full attention. When I'm talking to you, you're the only thing that exists in the entire world. You're the only thing that matters to me. And when you're talking to someone at a kiddush, not to look over your shoulder and go look who else there in the room. When you go to a social event, when you're talking to a person, I'm giving you my full attention. Nothing else exists in the world but you. Who is the one that was a master on this beautiful midah, which is a very rare thing? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Yisro, Moshe, I want to talk to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe you don't like me, I'm not good enough. Come to the kiddush. At the kiddush, there'll be 30 girls. It'll be a social event. So don't come for me, you come for your wife, for your children. You can look over my shoulder. Just give me an audience. Let me just say something. The koyach of Moshe is, Vayetze Moshe likras choisno. Forget about my wife, my children. I'm coming for you. I'm giving you my full attention. There's nothing that exists. Vayishtachavu lo, he bowed down. He kissed him. Vayishalu ish. It's an incredible, incredible midah.
It's a nivus.
What? It's more than a nivus. It's a mensch. It's everything. Such an approach. Oh, exactly. Exactly. How was it? They say this mamish about Clinton, the success, that when he's the havdil elif alfei avdalos, they say this, that is his koyach, that when he speaks to a person, he gives them the feeling that there's no one in the world but that person. That's an incredible koyach. And by a guy, but alachas kamakamu, we're dealing with the Torah way. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he's mamish. It says this in the pasuk. He can't deny it. It says this that he has three reasons to come out, and it's nothing but Yisrael with the full attention. You don't need this whole pasuk. The Torah is very makatzer. The Torah didn't even tell Moshe l'krasai. Why is the pasuk compensating? It's compensating because Yisrael said, "Don't come for me. Come for your wife and your children." It's a beautiful, beautiful midah, and it's a very powerful lesson to learn from this pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next. For a little bit further, Yichad Yisrael. Yisrael rejoiced and tremendous pleasure in hearing Al Kol HaToiva Asher Osa Hashem Yisrael Asher Hislam Yad Mitzrayim. Chazal tell us on this pasuk, Yichad, lashon of chad is sharp. When he heard about what Hashem did for Klal Yisrael, like we said before, Kriyas Matan Torah, Kriyas Yamsu, Machlomas Hamolek, he was Megayer. And part of the process of Geyer is, what do you do when you're Megayer? Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, you go to Mikvah, and what else? Bris Mila. So Chazal learned from the word Vayichad that he had a Bris Mila. He took a Cherev Chada Al Misaray. He took a very sharp sword. Sword is made from barzel, from iron.
Did he do this when he came into the?
It's not. Well, it depends. That all depends. When he, or the, not clear.
Did not do
mila until. Okay, no, they did mila for the Karban Pesach. What do you mean for the Karban Pesach? Did mila?
After.
They didn't do it in the subsequent years, but this was right after Matan. This is the first year they didn't do mila weiter.
So from Pesach, the babies that were born did not have a bris.
Possibly. Okay. So when did he do it? I don't know. Good. I don't know. But it says Chazal make this statement that Yichad, he took a cheref chada. And he did a bris mila. That Chazal's words are very, very clear. He took a cheref chada. What is a sword made from? Barzel sword. It's very. The farshim, they ask the question. They don't give an answer. I didn't see a good answer. Is that barzel was first instituted much the time of David? We once discussed this. David, time of the Goliath, because the miracle, the Goliath, the Goliath was wearing armor, and David shot a stone, a slingshot, and Hashem said to the metal, let the stone penetrate, and in reward for letting the stone penetrate metal, the metal would be used for bris mila. We discussed this. Barzel is a shetavis bila zilpa rochaleya, and David came from the Imos, came from Rus Nitzan Echad, and Goliath was from Arpa. Arpa. So we discussed this, the Koich of the Imos. But at this point in time, Barzel was not the common tool used for bris mila. It was stones. Moshe, when he was Gemalta Lazar, Tzipora, they used charbo surim. They used rocks, flintstones. They didn't use barzel. This came later. Okay, fine. That's a kash. Okay, that's not the question one asks. So I just want to note that here, in the very beginning of the parsha, we're learning about Yisro picking up a cheref chada, a sword of barzel, and applying it and applying it to his body. The very end of the parasha, we learn about the mizbeach. The mizbeach is made from stones, and the pasuk says, "In you're not allowed to put a metal implement on the mizbeach." Let's see the pasuk. Let me just run ahead of the pasuk. The im mizbach avonim tas. Im here means when, not if. When. You make a mizbech avonim tasalilo sivnes and gozis. Do not use cut stones. Ki charbucha heinafto lecha vatechaleleha. Because that would require you to take a sword, a cheref, and cut the stones. And Rashi explains, and we hear this Rashi, that a cheref is meant to be mekatzer yamav ushnoisav shaladam. I'll read you the words of Rashi. Let me find it over here. The chasher. The Tashim Hanafto Lech Barzel Chilalta. Shamizbeach nivra leharich yamav shel adam. V'habarzel nivra lekatzer yamav shel adam. Ein ze bedin sheyunaf hamakatzer al hamarich. It's not proper that the makatzer should be waved upon the marich. Period. Okay, but oyd shamizbeach matul shalom and yisrael avim shemeshmaim levich lo yavi olav kareis mechabel. So I just want to make this observation. In the beginning of the parasha, there's a prohibition to lift up barzel upon the mizbeach, because the mizbeach is something which is marichin liyama v'shnois of shaladam, and barzel is makatzer. Yet in the beginning of the pasuk, it's just the opposite. Here you have a human being that was meant to live forever. Adam, person was meant to live forever, only because the chait eitz hadas is in that. And now it's pumfakaret yisro v'yichad yisro achenef chada. He took to his body a cheref chadah. What's the pshat? So this is an observation. The pshat is pashat. The Rambam says one of the many reasons why we do bris milah. Hashem made a bris. There are many reasons, but the Rambam writes it's to be memayet taiva. Somehow, I don't know what doctors say about this today, but somehow the foreskin, the existence of the foreskin, it adds taiva in matters of marital relations. And by removing the foreskin, that is a technique of removing, diminishing a degree of taiva. A person is more in control of his taiva when there is no foreskin. Taiva is the ultimate mashchis. Shloisha dvarim moitzin es ha'adam min ha'olam. Kina, taiva, and kavod. Taiva. Taiva is moitzin. When you're dealing with the bris milah, the arla represents the koich of taiva. That foreskin will cause a person to be a bigger bal taiva than he otherwise would be. When you're dealing with dover, that's mamish mekha, that's taiva, and taiva is something which is moitzin adam in olam, that's taka when you use barzel. That's when you should use barzel. The mizbeach is the object of which is used to be marich, to bring peace, to bring sacrifices, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that you don't use barzel. But the Arla stands in an extreme opposite degree. The Arla is a taiva, and that taiva is coming to destroy us, to be moitzi us min ha'olam. Here is the makom where you should indeed bedafka use barza. Okay, it did not come into existence later on during the time of Goliath. We know that it's another chazal, but taka, there is definitely something to that. Bisman is that you go to a bris milah, the meaning of Yisrael is today a bris milah, it's only done barza. Why dafka only barzel? Well, to appreciate when don't you use barzel? You don't use barzel when you're trying to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means you should use barzel when something which is trying to destroy you. So bedafka, and that is a Musa Haska, that we have people out there like ISIS, Humamish Mushchasim, people who are trying to destroy the world. You use barzel. There's a time and a place for everything. There's a time for weapons of mass destruction. When you're dealing with people who are trying to destroy you, to be moitzim in olam, Yisro v'yichad Yisro. Here's the makom when you take the barzel. Don't go easy. Don't have rachmanis. You gotta go, and everything has a place and time. Call Adam and every object that Hashem. End of the parasha, you don't use barzel. The beginning of the parasha, you use barzel. End of the parasha, it's a dover, which is marich. The beginning of the parasha, it's a dover that's mashchis. It's going to be moitzim in ha'olam. But dafka to use the best thing you can use to destroy the barzel. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, but here we have just this parasha beginning and end. Okay, here is a kasha. The kasha is much better than the answer. Yisro advises Moshe Rabbeinu to appoint a whole group of leaders. Okay, let me see if I can find the pasuk and the Rashi. V'atos sechazeh. Okay, mikol la'am. V'yishma Moshe l'kol choisna v'yas kol asher amar. What a son-in-law. Vayas kol asher omar, whatever the Shver says.
What's the problem with the Shver? It's the Shviger.
There's no mention of the Shviger. Kol asher omar.
Where's the Shviger? No mention the whole power of the Shviger.
Whatever the Shver said, what a parsha to get married. What a parsha. Vayas, the message to the Chassan is, you should be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayas kol asher omar, whatever the Shver says, you do. Who do you point? Sorry, Alofim, sorry, Neoi, sorry, Chamishim, sorry, Asaros. How many different types? Thousands, hundreds, 50, and 10. Four different types of leaders. Four different types. Okay, if you read the pasuk, you can do the math yourself. There are 600,000 people, so how many sorry, Alofim are there going to be? 600. You can do the math, you can figure out, you can make any calculation you want. And you'll no one's going to. Everything is fine and good. Problem is, Rashi makes some calculations, and Rashi's numbers don't seem to add up. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi in Pasuk Chaf Hey, V'shaftu v'gamas. I'm reading the wrong Rashi. Pasuk Chaf Hey. No, it's not here. It's before. Go back to Pasuk Chaf Aleph, where he tells him, when he gives him advice. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ya'atos sechaz emikolam anshei chali relikim anshei emes reybotza v'samt alehim sorei alofim sorei meos sorei chamishim sorei. Same idea, this is in the instruction, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So Rashi does the math. Anshei chayil ashirim, wealthy people, shein tzrichim lehachnif, lehakiponim, they shouldn't be subject to bribe, anshei emes, elu bal yavtocha, okay, v'chulu v'chulu, anshei betza, okay, sorei alofim, okay, here we go. I'm jumping down to the Rashi. How many are sorei alofim? Heim hayu sheish meos. Rashi does the math. If there are 600,000 Jews, there are 600 sorei alofim. Every person has under their control 1,000 people. Wouldn't you like to have 1,000 people listening to you? 1,000 people report to you every single morning at your service. 1,000 people. You're in charge. You're in charge of 1,000 people. Any shilas you have, come bring to me. Next words of Rashi, sorei meos. Sheishes alofim hayu. Okay, 6,000. There were 6,000 people that were in charge of 100 people. Sorry, Chamishim. Yud Beis Elef. 12,000 people in charge of 50. Six, do the math. There are 12,000 people, and each one has under their control 50 people. And then Sorry, Asaros is Shishim Elef. 60,000. 60,000 people had under their control 10 people. Now the problem is, okay, let's just not go through all of the math, but let's work back, let's do the list, the last one. If you add up the first three, so it comes out to 18,600. It comes out to 18,600. Okay, there are 600 sorei alofim, there are 6,000 sorei meos, and there are 12,000 sorei chamishim. 12,000 plus 6,000 plus 600 is 18,600. So how many people are there left in Klal Yisrael? We'll just work one number. You can do it with the other numbers as well, but just to make things very simple, just to illustrate the point, how many people are there left in Klal Yisrael when we take away these 18,600 leaders who are in charge of 1,000 hundreds and 50? There's 581,400. 581,400 people left in Klal Yisrael. And for these 581,400 people, we're going to appoint Sarei Neos. One person for every 10 people. So how many people should do we appoint? Sorry, Asaros. We need 58,140. 58,140 people to be in, each person should be in charge of 10 people, because I can't include in that group the people that are in charge of the 50 and in charge of people in charge of the hundreds. So we're not counting those. It's not going to make it. We're just illustrating a rough illustration. It's not going to make a difference in the big picture of things. But let's just work with these numbers. Assume that we have 600,000 people. When we get down to the bottom, we have one person in charge of 10. L'chayr, the one person in charge of 10 is not going to be in charge of the person that's in charge of 1,000. So the guy, the 600 people who are in charge of 1,000, they're out of the picture. And the people that are in charge of 100 are also out of the picture. And the people that are in charge of 50 are also out of the picture. So they're only going to be in charge of another 9 people who are just ordinary civilians, pedestrians. And how many do we have of those? We have 581,400. So we're only going to take from that 58,140. So how can Rashi go out of his way? Rashi is very precise. Rashi wouldn't be telling us this, that there's going to be 60,000 people in Klal Yisrael that are going to be in charge of 10 people. That you don't have You don't have 600, you don't have 600,000 people that we need, 60,000 people. We only need 58,140 people. It's a good kasha. This is a very, very good kasha. What in the world is going on over here? Why is Rashi doing the math when the math doesn't work out? Lada mefarshim is this kasha. What? You're rounding up. From 58,000,
you don't delineate every.
But Rashi goes through the effort. Rashi goes through the effort. So what is going on here? So I saw everyone struggles with this. I just want to suggest one answer, which I don't know if it's correct. In America, Lahavil Elif Alfdi Avdalis, the subject that appears to be very successful, even though the country is only 200 years old. 200 years old is just a paragraph in a history book of the world. But this concept called checks and balances, where the government is divided into three parts: executive branch, legislative branch, the judicial branch. Checks and balances. No one should get too much power. Too much power is dangerous. Everyone is a balanced by another two-thirds of the government. Tremendous chokhmah. And it seems like for 200 years, Baruch Hashem, it seems pretty good. A lot of countries trying to copy this system. Not bad. Perhaps we can suggest that's exactly really what Yisrael is suggesting to him. That's part of the chokhmah of what Yisrael is suggesting to Moshe Rabbeinu. If you have a person who's in charge of 1,000 people, I'm in charge of 1,000 people. No one has veto power. The only one that's over above me is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the chief. But everyone underneath me, I'm in charge. Possibly, that's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe which allows corruption. But if the person that's in charge of 1,000 people also has to report to the person that's in charge of 10 people, and the person that's in charge of 100 people and 50 people, there are checks and balances. In one respect, you know, who's greater than who? We assume the person in charge of 1,000 people.
Because you have more tens, do they go over both?
They're greater people. And the people in charge of 10, they're just nobodies. They're just.
A committee.
They're not. No. There's a certain chokhmah. There's a certain. We don't exactly know who the people were. But there is a certain balance of power. Checks and balances. I may be a very powerful person. There are 1,000 people, and I have say over. But my power is also being balanced and checked by one of 10. I report to my chief, who's in charge of me. I report to my division head of 50, and I report to my division head of 100. I have one over them also, but they can veto me in some way. We don't know how the whole system was set up, but it is. Rashi is seemingly telling us there are checks and balances. It's not just, if I'm in charge of 1,000, everyone is a nobody. Anyone underneath me is a piece of garbage. I can just step on them, I don't report to you. My clearance, my security clearance is way higher than your pay grade, and don't go, no. Like, you know, in America, you can have the biggest politician, even the President of the United States, he gets a parking ticket. He has to pay the parking tickets. It's what?
Kerry?
Kerry didn't show the snow.
Yeah.
In Massachusetts.
Okay.
Got a ticket.
Well, Kerry's not. Kerry was a senator. He's a senator. Okay. So you see something to it. There's no such thing. And this. I mean, has been commented. It's a very big bracha in America. It's a democracy. Don't give one person too much power. Power leads to corruption. It leads to abuse. When you have checks and balances, there are definitely safeguards that keep society safe. And we can suggest that's really what Rashi is telling us, part of the chokhmah of Yisrael. No one should get too much power.
The way you're talking about it, decentralization, which is really what Yisrael wanted, right? He didn't want centralized government.
He did. Well, if you look at the pasuk, not like what I told you, it was. There's a pyramid.
There's no appeal system.
There is an appeal.
The if he didn't know what the answer was, he appealed to the higher.
Well, that's the similar understanding. See, that's who says, that's what Rashi seems saying. It's not correct. We don't know exactly how it worked. Obviously, there was more going on. But Rashi is hinting to us by giving us the numbers. And the numbers don't, if you would ask the average person, okay, let's make a system based upon what it says in the pasuk. You would say, okay, there are going to be people in charge of 10. And then on top of those 10, there's going to be the 50 and the 100 and the 1,000. You would assume the person who's in charge of 1,000 can veto, does not report to anyone that's below him.
Right.
He can just say to them, get out of my way, you give me a ticket, you're in charge of 10. So you give tickets to people who don't clean up their garbage, who don't recycle. But you're not going to dare give a ticket to the guy who's in charge of 1,000. Because I'm in charge of you. I'm better than you. That type of system can lead to corruption.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That kind of system. Moshe could make all the decisions.
Yeah.
People in charge of 10 would make a decision based on their knowledge.
Okay.
It was above their knowledge. They went to the next grade.
Right.
And the next grade,
that's one level of interpretation, but perhaps there's more to it. A sar is not just someone who makes a halachic decision. It means someone who has power. There appears to be more than just questions of Shulchan Aruch, deciding halacha. There appears to be sarara, authority. It's Yisro is setting up, is structuring a society of a government. This is discussed among the Mefarshim. What was Yisro actually? Only Dayanim? Only just sort of halacha, the Paskin halacha? You have a Shail and Shochnach, or a Chaim Yerdeya, you have Yad and Yad and Yerayura, a Rav Manik? Or is it more? He's setting up over here an entire structure, a government.
It's supposed to be a substitute for everyone coming to Moshe.
Right, right.
Why would it be coming to Moshe? For government or for
everything? Well, I'm going to show you now the next one. They came to Moshe for everything. They came to Moshe Rabbeinu for Shidduchim. They came to him for Parnassah. I'm going to show you that in some. Another idea. They gave everything. He said, you can't do this. You can't go. One person can't run 600,000 people. You can't run their lives.
But today, for Derevis, can. Their brains are greater than me. Jews have the accountability to flow not only morals.
Downwards. I'm saying is that according to Rash calculation, the person that was in charge of 1,000 people, there are 1,000 people under my control. But guess what? I have to report to the person who's in charge of 10 people. I'm part of a group.
But that doesn't work that way in the practical world today.
Well, we don't have a system of government like this. Maybe the system of government is what?
Even in private industry, you don't have where the manager, the CEO.
Well, the private industry is not dealing with a country. You're dealing
with a board of directors.
You're dealing with 50 people, 100 people.
Oriented or bottom oriented? Your company is got a bottom
authority.
Ethics committee.
Yeah, Facebook, all these social committees. Look at the United States of America. Three branches of government. It was done by design that no one part of government should have too much power. There's such a concept, balance of power.
But they're equal.
Not equal. Not necessarily. They're different. Not necessarily. It's only a human beings. Not equal. They're different. They're equal. They're different. Each one has its milus. Yisro appears, according to Rashi's numbers, to be setting up something that is very, very deep. We're missing some of the details. But when you read the Rashi, this is a very famous question. Rashi does the math. Rashi didn't have to tell us the math. We can figure out the math on our own, and we would jump to our own conclusion, and we would automatically assume there's a hierarchy, there's a pyramid, and the people in charge of 50 don't deal with the people that have veto power, or the people in charge of 10. Assumption, but to be on Shei Emes Onivotza, perhaps there's something that's more to it. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now, this is just an observation. Okay, this, the following idea is just an observation. Observation begins. When you go to yeshiva, let's even talk about when you get a job. You go to college, you want to be a lawyer. Okay, you want to be a doctor. So you have in mind, oh, what does it mean to be a doctor? Take a high school student and have him write an essay. What does it mean to be a doctor? And it'll give you this idealistic feeling of to help people, to make them better. Get a little bit older. It's about money. It's a good job. You'll make money. Then when you realize, there's no money in being a doctor anymore. It's about kavod, legacy. As you progress in your career, your goals of what you're doing change very, very much from what was the ideal, what you started out in the very, very beginning.
You sound very cynical, Rob.
I am very cynical. I'm more cynical than I sound. Now, if this is true when it comes in the secular world, I got some shocking news for you. Alachas kam v'kam, it's true in the Jewish world, in Rabbanus, in rabbinics, in teaching. You start out, what does it mean to be a Rav? Okay, so you go take a smicha student, to be a Rav, you're going to teach Torah, you're going to change the world. And then as things go on in life, you realize, you know, Rabbanus is not all that it was meant to be.
Shades of gray.
You go from one thing to the next. Let me give you the ultimate example. This is a true story. I know a person, he's an older person, he's a middle-aged person, and he's a Rav in Lakewood. He's a Rav in Lakewood. And he has a very big kehila. And he's a very big Talmud Chacham. There's no question about it. And he's very, very talented. There's a lot of charisma, a lot of skills. He's very well connected. He has a lot going for him. So you would expect, what does he do with his Rabbanis? What will he can give? He can give shiurim, 20 shiurim a day, and he can be a paisek, and he can be part of the, he'll be in the newspaper every day, and be part of, be a macher, be an askan, be oisek in tzorchei tzibur, be part of the aguda, do all, you know, he has the qualifications for all of these things. And I asked someone that's very close to him, what does he do? What is he involved in most of the time? I know he's a Rav. I don't really hear much about him. So he says, I'll tell you the truth. You know what he does most of the day? He helps people get jobs. That's what he does most of the day.
Gets people jobs?
Helps people get jobs. Gvaldik. You can't do better than that. That's what he does. And to me, it was very shocking and a little bit disturbing. Because like, you would expect such a person, such a caliber, such a Talmud Chacham, he'll be busy the whole day giving shiurim. He has that koyach. I said, she says, with Lakewood, they're not interested in shiurim. They're either learning in Beis Medrash. He says, either the Jungalite are in, they're sitting and learning, so they're not interested in his shiurim. And the people that are not in learning, they're too busy. They're working the whole day. And you know, they're working, they're driving, carpool. They have 10 kids, they're busy. Who's interested in shiurim? Either you're sitting in Beis Medrash, you're in Kollel, or you're running around working. So guess what? They're not interested. There are no retirees in Lakewood. Everyone there in this community, they're all very young people. Okay, but now they have senders. So in his community, no one's interested in shiurim. And he gives one shiur on Shabbos for 45 minutes. It's a joke. And this person is right to be giving shiur the entire day. So what, wanted to be a paisek? He says, hey, he's just to be Isaac and answering people's shalos. The other people somehow, he's just, that's just not. What ended up, even though he says all of his talents, all of his koichos, and he invested all this time training himself, what he does, the niche that he found himself necessary, is there are a lot of people that don't have jobs, and he works very hard. He spends a lot of time during the day helping people get jobs, and he's very matzliach in this inyan. So that's what he does. He's very well connected, and he has a certain koich shatchan in this matter, and that's what he does. So the truth is, and the same way that's true, would you ever expect with this person when he started out as a bacher and he's going to go into Rabbanus, did he ever imagine that this is what it's going to come down to? That this is what the purpose is? Never in a million years. And not only is it true for him, it's true for everyone. Every single person, no matter what profession you're in, what you find yourself doing, I even know someone who's a lawyer. And he tells me, this is not really what I ended up, I really didn't plan on doing this. I trained to be this type of lawyer, be in litigation, I trained to do this. And now I find myself locked in into a very narrow niche. That's the way Hashem made things. And is it good? In some ways it's good, some ways it's not good. That's the way it is in life. The truth is, this idea is found by Moshe Rabbeinu. Let me show you what I mean. Yisro comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. He sees Moshe Rabbeinu. He sees long lines. Moshe, what's going on here? What's this all about? So look at what Moshe Rabbeinu says. Moshe Rabbeinu basically tells him, I've made for myself the ultimate Rabbanus. Let me explain to you what Rabbanus is, the Rabbanus that I like, the type of Rabbanus that I like. Let me find the Pasuk. What's going on here? I don't have no clue what's going on here. I'll tell you what I do the whole day. Number one, they come to be Lidroish Elohim. What does it mean Lidroish? So a lot of discussion what this means. They say Mispalo. People come to me, they have tzaras, and they come to me that I should be Mispalo for them. And I do. I sit down with them and we daven together. We pray together. Or I teach them how to daven, so they can daven themselves. That's the first thing that a Rav does. That's my Rabbanus. I daven. I'm the Baal Tzvila on the Yomim Noiram. There are a lot about Rabbanim. They insist that they be the Baal Tzvila on the Yom Noiram. That, whether you like it or not, whether I have a good voice or not, that's the job of the Rav. He's the Baal Tzvila. Lidrash. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Lidrash Elokim. Guess what else I do, Yisro? Ki Yelohem Dovar Boilai. This is the best. They just come to talk. They come, that's what it says. Ki Yelohem Dovar Boilai. They come to shoes. They want someone that they want a good listener. Gossip. They tell me what they read online. They tell me about what's going on in the blogs. They tell me Maisalach. Just I'm Dovar. They want to tell me. They want a shoes. Next. You know what else I do? People come, they fight. I settle disputes. V'shofatiti ben ishu ben re'ehu. I settle disputes between man and his friend. You know what else I do? I teach. I give gevald shiurim. You see this whole crowd, they just came out. I just taught them Shev Shmaitza. I give a shiur in Shev Shmaitza. I give a shiur in the most exotic topics you can possibly imagine. Okay, I give a shiur in Zohar. You look at my roster, all the shiurim. So Moshe rattled off, I think over there, five things over here. You can read five, six things that he does. Moshe defined his rabbanus. This is gevaldik, like a smicha student. You're sitting in Koilel, and this, what is a rav? I once had to write an essay about a rav. What is the tafkid of a rav? Okay, so you do research. This is what a rav is, to do chesed. You do chesed, all these things. Fine, okay. Yisro Moshe, what? Of course, homiletics, they give him good darshan. So Yisro says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry to shatter your idealism. I'm sorry. I say, this is not what, it's maybe a good idea of a rav ideal, but halacha l'maisa, you're gonna try to do what you're doing, novel tibol. You're going to burn out very quickly. You gotta adjust to the world of reality. You thought you were going to be a litigator? Guess what? You're going to have to become you're going to go into corporate work. You're going to have to do other type, whatever. You're going to have to do other type of work. It's a nice ideal, but it's not very practical. Let me retrain you for what Rabbanus is all about. Novel T-balls, Atash novel, you know, burnout, Atash Mabakoli, Yotzchav Yil Kimimach, I'll tell you what you should be. Your role as a Rav is to be Mul Hoelokim. And Rashi says you're going to be the Nalitz. You're going to be Mispalel, you're going to be the intermediator between Hashem. It's another role. You're going to assess Klal Yisrael and you're going to meditate. You're going to be Mispalel privately, not with the people, to the common, whatever this means. You have to look at the Mepharshim, what these things are. Mul Elokim. Then the next thing I want you to do, Moshe, V'hizharta Semesachugim V'hizhatayros. It's a new word. V'hizharta. A Baal Musar. The role of a Rav is to give Musar. To get up in shul and curse them out, be a maggid. Now, that wasn't part of what you told me you do. You got to be a maggid, a Baal Musar. Give Musar shmuzim. Okay? And the Hoydat Elohim, you know what else you got to go do? It's a Chugim Yasatoros, Musar. The Hoydat Elohim is a Derech Yelchuba. Ooh, Derech Yelchuba, that's a whole new thing. I think Rashi says that. Derech, whatever these things are, you have to look in the Mepharshim. It's a whole different approach to Rabbanus. Yes, Hamaseh Shayasun, teach to get him a good job. Hamaseh, tell them, give him good trades, tell them good things, what to do, whatever these things mean. And therefore, he basically enumerates over here another, I don't know, four or five things, whatever. You have to count exactly how to break up the psukim. There could be, I try to count that there are a total of 10 things. Whatever, I'll go for. Fine. V'yato asech zemikolam an shechal v'chulu v'chulu. And then v'shavtu esam choleis v'hoya. There's one other thing that he tells them. V'hoya kol hadavar hagadol. There's another one thing he tells them. I'm going to break up the whole system, and one thing you're going to focus on, and that is the davar hagadol. Now, what is that? I don't know exactly. We have the word davar, gossip. Now we have a davar hagadol. It's a new concept. Another thing that you're going to be in charge of. things keep on changing. It could be that over here, when he starts actually, I think another thing, when Yisro now starts actually implementing his plan, he realizes even what Yisro wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to do, he also changes. Dover Hagot. Sometimes you have a contract, your rabbi, they have a contract. What do they expect from a rabbi? I used to look at some of these specs. I don't even know what they're called. When shuls, the RCA job descriptions. So every shul has a very different job description, what their needs are. So they have a job description. So I know certain shuls that had it posted, and I know they took Rabbanim, and I know for a fact that what the Rav does now is completely not even one thing it's on the job description is this Rav doing. Completely different. Why? Halacha l'maisa, when you put out a job description, you see what you can get, so, and you see the talent that you have, so all of a sudden, after you get the job, the whole job changes. So I had the same thing. Here, Yisro gave a new job. Moshe, what you're doing now, your ideals are wrong. You listed off what you do. Guess what? All of those things, no good. I'm going to write for you a new resume. I'm going to write a new job description. And your resume is going to match. You should train yourself to fulfill these requirements. And now we're going to put you on the top. And now when Yisro comes to implement this plan, all of a sudden the job changes. Everything that Yisro wanted, he threw out the window. And everything Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, they also threw out the window. And now when they make the announcement that the rabbi is here, what is he going to do? One thing only. He's going to take care of Dovar HaGadol. Whatever that is. And that's talking, it was always very vague. What is the rabbi supposed to do? Anyway, the Dovar HaGadol. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, fine. We've gone through all the stages. Moshe's ideals, Yisro's. No, you got his ideas. Now when they actually give Moshe the job, they see everything is totally wrong, they give him a new job, Dover HaGadol, Halacha L'maisa. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Then it says they did it, and then it says, the plan was implemented. Sorry, Alof, he did everything he said, the Shavt, when they judged everyone, and it says, the Shavt, Es HaDavar, at the end result, when everything was over, what did Moshe end up doing? The Dovar HaKosheh. What is Dovar HaKosheh? Kosheh Mizoynoisav Shal Adam Kikriyas Yamsov. Parnasa. Actually, the Kosheh Lizavgon. Okay, that's a little bit of a drush. But the point is, when everything was Halacha L'maisa, none of the above. Everything kept on changing and changing and changing. Moshe started out his ideals, thrown out the window by Yisro. Yisro gave his ideas. This is what Rabban is all about. And then when it came the time to give Moshe the job, all of a sudden the job description changed to Dover HaGadol. And Halacha L'maisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu was 40 years on the job, what does the Torah describe Moshe Rabbeinu was doing for 40 years? None of the above. He just took care of Dovar HaKosheh. The difficult things. What is Dovar HaKosheh? We don't even know what these things are. So the Darshanim say, Kshaduchim, Kosheh Lezavgam, Dovar HaKosheh, Parnasa. But it wasn't Shiurim. It wasn't Musar. It wasn't Hader HaShel Yelchuba. It wasn't being Shefei, making Shalom, being Ishlerei Ehu. It wasn't working for the Aguda. It wasn't Askonis. It wasn't none of the above. The day was over. Dovar HaKosheh.
That's what he signed up. He didn't sign up for
this. He didn't sign up for this.
So
but that's,
God spoke to him with the snare.
What?
God didn't tell him all this. By the way, this
okay,
is
you have to take this with a grain of salt, obviously, but you understand. This is a very look. Let's read the words of the Pesukim. Look at what Moshe says. Yisro says what happened, and then what Halacha L'maaseh, what Moshe ended up doing. Dovar HaKosheh is a whole, and this is really true for every person in their own life. You can plan and plan and plan, and someone can come along and change your plans, and then you adapt, and then you do this and do that, and when the day is over, you find yourself being in a whole different place than you never imagined, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the day is over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's guarding a person's life. At the end is, we have here the Dovar HaKosheh. And maybe, in fact, that was the biggest smiler. Maybe, in fact, this was the greatest accomplishment. But, you know, my father used to tell me, Rav Henkin, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, he was so impressed with Henkin. Rav Henkin was Mamash to Gadol Hadar. until Rav Moshe was nifter, Rav Henkin was mamish to godol hadar, and Rav Henkin spent most of his day with Sof Yomov doing what? Collecting tzedakah.
Right.
Collecting tzedakah. I thought it was nishtoymen. He was in awe. He couldn't believe that here you have a person, mamish to godol hadar, knows kol atar kula, first class posik, and he's sitting in his office on the phone trying to collect money for poor people.
Ezra Stara.
He was the founder of Ezra Stara, of Henkin. So, is this what he signed up for? Is this what you would expect him to be doing? He was doing the Dover HaKosha. He was doing the Dover HaKosha, even though he was ready to do every single thing listed over here in the parasha, all the way down from beginning to end. Okay, if you want to make a good darsh and make a thought for Jewish, Moshe has 10 names. We say this in the piyut on Simchas Torah. I think if you count all the different things, you can come up with the number 10. All the different things, and perhaps you can work it out that all the 10 names, a name represents your role. The 10 names correspond to what really a leader is supposed to do. Moshe listed things that he wanted to do. Yisrael gave him a list of what he thinks the Rav should do, and then there was what a practical, what they pointed him to do, and then what he actually did. Moshe may have 10 names, but he was only called by the name Moshe. So you have to know what all that means. But perhaps there's some mahalach you can make a drush of the 10 names to apply the 10 different mahalachim that we find here in this parasha. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. Almost finished. Another okay, a short idea. This is.
Let me just go into inclusion. Is that a sad commentary?
It can be both sad and positive. Sometimes it's very positive. It's all relative. It all depends.
He made all the committees, and when they got to a hard decision, no one wanted to take responsibility.
It all depends. Sometimes this is a reality of life, and sometimes this reality is very good.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's not so good. But it is a reality that everything is always dynamic. Things are always fluid. Nothing remains the same. I don't know. I think he did have a shul. Did he have a small place? I don't know. I don't know. I think it was a goyin shebe goyinim. Okay. Let's do some very quick. This is the word, a davar chaviv to me. This way. I told this to you last year. Just one observation. The beautiful kliyok. The kliyoker says the difference between the aseres adibros in parashas Yisro, the first dibros, and the second. What is the difference? Many differences. One of the. For example, let's talk about Shabbos in parashas Yisro. Why are we told to observe Shabbos? Berias ha'olam. Creation of the world. In the Aseres Adibros of Parshas Veschanan, why do we observe Shabbos? Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's just one example. And you can go focus. The Kli Yakar says a very, very powerful Yisoid. And this Yisoid changes everything. The difference between the first and the last Dibros. The first Dibros were said to the world. The second Dibros was private to Klal Yisrael. Now that's true in how it was given. When Hashem gave Klal Yisrael that Sarah, it was given to Klal Yisrael, but the whole world was listening. When Hashem gave Moshe the second Luchos, the second Dibros, it was private. Moshe was all alone. There was no one there. The world was operating like regular. Even Klal Yisrael was not aware of what was happening. It was given privately to Moshe. Moshe represented Klal Yisrael. Therefore, everything that's said in the first Dibros indirectly is also being said to the entire world. And that's a very profound idea because we know that the goyim have a mitzvah of sheva mitzvah in Noach, there are seven mitzvahs. But according to the Kli Yakar, in addition to the seven mitzvahs, the goyim are also, to some degree, chayiv, to at least to respect, not the difference between actually performing, doing, but at least having a respect and not interfering. Two different madrigals with the Aseres HaDibros.
You see that? Everyone has the Ten Commandments.
That's right. So quickly, the Kli Yakar, it has very good... It's Christian. It's a Christian.
It's
a Christian.
They don't have to believe in the Second Commandment.
Shitov. It's a very profound... That's why the first Dibros we speak about, Buriyas Olam. The Goyim have an obligation to recognize Hashem created the world. The Goyim have an obligation, Lo Sirtzach, Lo Tirtzach, Lo Tinof, Lo Tignof, Lo Saneh, Kabir Esavichav Yasimecha.
They're not supposed to keep Shabbos.
They're not supposed to do as a mitzvah, but the concept of recognizing that the reason why the Klal Yisrael observe Shabbos is because it's an Eidus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and it's only, but the very least, they should not interfere. They have no right to prevent us from working, to enact laws, to legislate laws that you have to work on Shabbos. That, according to the Kli Yakar, is they are in violation of the Aseres HaDibros. Because according to the Kli Yakar, the Aseres HaDibros was given to the Goyim to at least to respect and to pay that it's not a mitzvah that they have to do, but they had that it was said to them. It's a very powerful sentence. So just to add to one little point, it's very interesting the passage that begins the Aseres HaDibros. Vayedaber Elokim Eis Kol Hadvar Mo'ela Leimar. And we always know the word Leimar is Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe Leimar. And there's a discussion, why does every parashat in the Torah begin with by that expression? Hashem either means saying, or it means, Ayadaber Hashem el Moshe, Lamar, say it over. Say it over to Klal Yisrael. I'm telling it to you privately here in Har Sinai. I want you to go and tell us what I said. Go to Klal Yisrael and tell it to them. With that idea, you take the Aseres HaDibros, Vayedaber Elokim Eis Kol Hadvarim, who's Hashem speaking to? Hashem was speaking to Klal Yisrael. Hashem here says, Klai shall come to Har Sinai. Hadbel esami kidashto, Moshe brought. It doesn't say here, Tayyidaber, Hash elukim el Moshe, Lamar. The pasuk begins very clearly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, Vayedaber Elokim Eis Kol Hadvarim. Who is Hashem speaking to? Klal Yisrael. The Umos Olam rejected it. They may have heard the echo. They heard Bash. They heard what was going on. They heard. The Kli Yakar says they heard. But the whole world was aware. But Hashem was speaking to Klal Yisrael. They were listening as outsiders. But Hashem is telling Klal Yisrael, Lamar, tell them. Go out and tell them. Tell who? Who are we supposed to tell? According to the Kli Yakar, it fits in line with the Kli Yakar. We have an obligation as Klal Yisrael to be an Or La'am in the very least. The ten mitzvos, the Aseres HaDibros. The Klal Yisrael, the Aseres HaDibros is in the category, at least you learn Pasha on the Pasek. Lamar, go tell someone else. You, I don't need to tell. I already told everyone Klal Yisrael. When you add this idea to what the Kli Yakar says, that the Umos Olam were listening, it's also for them, and you focus in on this passage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Klal Yisrael to go tell someone else, it's the same idea that Klal Yisrael has an obligation to expand the depth of these mitzvos. Kibud Av V'Em, L'Sirtzach, L'Tinof, L'Tignoiv, by Anochi Hashem Elokecha, L'Yeh, L'Sisa, all of these things to the world by example should appreciate that Aseres HaDibros. The Umos Olam also have some shachas. Last short word to include, V'chol Ha'am Royim Es HaKoilos. What does it mean to see the Koilos? So this is one of my favorite verses. There are many interpretations. Tor Shebichsav. As Tor Shebichsav, how do you fulfill Tor Shebichsav? What's the way you learn Torah? You see. If you can't see, you can't learn Tor Shebichsav. You have to see what it says inside. Tor Shebichsav is fulfilled through the Koyach of Re'iyah. Tor Shebalpeh, there's nothing to see. Dram Shebichsav Yat HaRashai, it's hearing. The Chol Matan Torah is the mixture, the synthesis of Tor Shebichsav and Tor Shebalpeh. Royim Es HaKoilos is the integration. Re'iyah is Shebichsav. Shmiah is Shebalpeh. When you merge the two together, it's the synthesis, the integration of Tor Shebichsav and Tor Shebalpeh. Kabbalah Satar was a Kabbalah, not just a Tor Shebichsav. It's a Kabbalah of Tor Shebichsav and Tor Shebalpeh. Not just both of them said, but the full integration. And this is something that is unique to Klal Yisrael. The Umas Olam lack this understanding of Tor Shebalpeh Bechlal. We have this, and that is one of the deeper meanings of Royim Es HaKoilos. Have a wonderful Shabbos.